On air.
Online.
On your smartphone.
From the KM Media Group.
This is KMFM.
Welcome to the KMFM Daily News Podcast. I'm Nicola Everett. The focus of our podcast tonight is on reality stars, their sudden fame and the pressure it can have on them. On Saturday night, news broke that former Love Island star Mike Thelisitis had been found dead near to his home in Essex. He was 26. He shot to fame after appearing on the ITV2 programme in 2017.
Why are you here?
Why are you here? Same reason. We're all here to have a laugh, no?
Yeah. Maybe some people want more.
I think everyone wants a bit more, don't they?
It's been a huge outpouring of grief and thousands of tributes posted on social media, including from fellow Love Island contestants. Chris Hughes tweeted, "Every inch of my heart goes out to his family and friends. A good guy taken far, far too soon." While Amber Davis wrote, "I am in utter shock. You were one of the most genuine guys. I just can't believe this." Johnny Mitchell was also on the show.
He was so confident. I mean, he was one of the best looking guys out there. Always dominated the room, and he always seemed like he had it under control. I personally looked up to him. He was someone that I looked at and thought, he's a guy who has it together. So for this to happen, of course, it's just it's shocking.
Lots of messages have also been coming in from the world of sport, because Mike was a semi-professional footballer and he played for Margate FC, Ebbsfleet United and Welling during his career. Steve Brown signed him for Ebbsfleet and has been speaking to the KM Football Podcast.
The first call I took was from Sessignon, Chris Sessignon, and he said, "Have you heard the news?" I said, "No." And he told me, and you're just shocked and stunned. But it doesn't really sink in. That's the thing. You're on a train, you've just done a game, you're on the way home, it doesn't sink in. And then by the time I get home, I've spoken to Daryl McMahon, you know, he's phoned me, and Steve Watts phoned. And Daryl said he spoke to Michael Mundy and said it was fine. You don't know what actually is the final set-off that leads them to commit suicide. So it's by the time you get home, lots of thoughts are going. You know, I mean, football takes a back seat. You know, I'm here for football, but it takes a back seat, and it becomes very much a deep thinking thought process about life, doesn't it? And I've got two kids, 22 and 19, and my daughter's very hot and stuff like that. So she was on the phone straight away, and then it's trying to explain to your kids why, you know, people do sometimes do this. And you know, and you start panicking about, you know, your own, you know, your kids' thought processes and what and how they're going through and what they're thinking. My son is very much like me. You know, he's laid back. He takes it on his stride. But my daughter's in social care. That's what she's gone to university for. So it's very poignant for her. And yeah, anybody that decides to take their own life, Steve, is very, very tragic. The circumstances in which this has come about, I think there's probably a lot of stories that are going to come out over the next month, 3 months, 6 months that will make this even more tragic, if I'm honest. But yeah, it takes a while to sink in, doesn't it? You know, he was a smashing lad as well. I put a tweet out, and I don't tweet very often. Social media is not really a massive thing where I want to communicate with people. If I want to communicate with people, I pick up the phone. But you have to, you know, I felt I had to put a tweet out because he was such a smashing lad. You know, and a manager-player relationships, there's always going to be ups and downs because you've got to leave people out. You've got, and they, you know, whatever player you leave out, they don't agree with you. And that's fine. You have to have those dynamics. You have to make those tough decisions. So, you know, there were times when obviously Michael and me were, you know, looking away from each other. We didn't want to speak. But ultimately, when he was in your dressing room, one, if he was playing well, he was unplayable as a striker. If he was playing, if he was on top of his form, he was unplayable as a striker. And two, he had a dynamic with Alex Osborne that just brought the dressing room down. They were like a comedy duo. Honestly, they were the funniest. When they got going in the dressing room, I can't remember anybody being as funny as them two when they got going.
What was it? Telling stories, jokes?
Just joking with each other. Yeah, I mean, we say banter, but jokes with each other, things they'd done during the day, because they were quite mischievous, and you know, they just brought the dressing room down. They were genuinely funny people, and Michael did have a heart of gold.
Well, Mike's death has led to bigger questions today about the impact sudden fame can have on reality stars and if they're getting the support they need. He even told Build London last year how fame changed things for him.
I'd say after Love Island, all the stuff that's happened and all like the crazy parties and people coming to you on the street and that, you do become a little bit more hostile. So if I don't know you and I don't really like you, I'm not going to pretend to be really nice to you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. That's just the way it's got to.
Now, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, says TV shows have a duty of care to contestants, and he's very worried about what mental health support is available. TV body language expert Judy James worked on Big Brother.
They're expected to look wonderful all the time. They're expected to go out and get involved in the same kind of relationship problems they had on the show. So there's almost no escape. There's no going back to their real day jobs, really.
Matt Terry grew up in Maidstone before finding fame on The X Factor. He won the show in 2016, but in a video posted on Twitter today, says he's struggled with his own mental health issues since then.
I guess there is a pattern when it comes to reality TV and young men and young women. It is quite hard to deal with the pressure and the expectation and the sudden opinion of the world on how you deal with things or your status or who you are as a person or whatever it may be. But yeah, I kind of just wanted to chat to you guys about myself when it comes to mental health. It's something that I went through for quite a long time. As a 25-year-old man, I had to have my mum sometimes come and sleep with me so that I could get a few hours sleep to get by. But I feel like it was thanks to reaching out and relying on people that I knew would be there for me and could help that made a difference. I for sure would not be in this position that I am right now and the state of mind that I'm in right now if it wasn't for everybody that helped me along the way. So it's something that I'm proud to say that I feel like I've conquered. So for everybody out there, if you are feeling low, just know that there is a way out. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And I say that through and from experience. So please speak out, talk to anyone you can, whether it be your friends, family, a therapist, whoever you feel comfortable with. It's really important. The second you open your mouth, you will feel a difference.
Now, if you need advice on where to turn for help, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Click on our story about Mike, where we've got a link to the Release the Pressure campaign and also the number for Samaritans. Don't forget, for more news updates throughout the day, you can listen to KMFM on air, online, via smart speaker and the KMFM app.